kahinos in the Greek tongue means new, but it really means a freshening. And it's important that you know that, because we're going to talk about minds. How do you freshen your mind? You refresh it. Okay? You know, in the Passover and other places, the Word of God, the same chapters, same verses were read over and over. Every Passover, every feast. Do you know why? So it was fresh in the people's mind. As it is written in John chapter 1, verse 1, St. John, that is. You don't have to turn there. You all know it by heart. In the beginning, when was that? That's just exactly what it means. In the beginning was the Word. That's the doctrine, friend. The Word was with God. The doctrine was with God, even in the first earth age. And then it continues, and the Word was God. So when you start looking around for a new doctrine, do you know what you're saying in a sense? I want a new God. That's dangerous, friend. You're not focused. You're being misguided. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. So stay focused. But you don't understand, brother. I read the Bible through in 84. Oh, you did? Well, I wonder why the Israelites and others had to read it every year. That's strange. You must be a super person. Well, I really don't need the Word of God. Then have a good trip. I know where you're going. Okay? Because you got a one-way ticket to a hot place. Refresh your mind. Don't ask for a new God. He's your father. That's kin. That's family. Don't be a flip-flopper or a turncoat. You know, there's not a military in the person in the world, especially if he's been a prisoner of war, that can stand a turncoat. They're just terrible. They're awful. You can't trust them. They're not reliable. They're flip-floppers. God doesn't like it either when it comes to His Word. Do you know why? In the beginning was the Word. It's very simple. But it is so difficult for some people to stay focused. Anytime some man tries to give you a doctrine that he cannot document in God's Word, Scripture that is, you better send him on the road. Because you're headed for trouble. Tears, sweat, sorrow, and heartbreak. But in the Father's Word is His comfort, His growth, His blessings. If you follow this man or any other man, he might change. But I guarantee you something, God's Word will never change. It was that way in the beginning, it is today. And you know something that's never going to change, documented in Mark 13? God's Word shall never change. So you don't waste your time working on His Word. If you got some time you'd like to play around and dream and flip-flop, have to it. All right, that's good. But a teacher can't afford that. That's not one of his rights, because it misleads people. You have to teach the Word of God straight on. Most of you could probably tell where I'm going to take you this time. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I think the last three sermons, I've probably taken you here once before out of the last three. Well, aren't you afraid we'll get tired of reading that? I don't care whether you get tired of it or not. It's something you better know and you better remember and you better be refreshed with. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9, and it reads, "The thing that hath been," we're right after Proverbs there, right after Psalms, the book of Psalms. Always open your Bibles right in the middle and you'll open in Psalms and then turn past Proverbs and you're there. Verse 9, that's a country way of finding books of the Bible. Okay. Okay. "The thing that hath been," guess what? It is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. I mean, it's happened before with your father, friend. Do you know something? In the first earth age, you were in a spiritual body. Whoo! Guess what? In the millennium, you're going to be again. What goes around comes around. The word never changes. Okay? Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? This is chapter 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 1. See, this is new. Verse 10. It hath been already of old time which was before us. That's what makes God's word so exciting to study. Anybody knows history, all you got to do is read what happened. Well, that's the way it's going to happen again. Anybody that has read what has happened in Jerusalem and you're not keeping up with it today, I feel sorry for you. You're a late sleeper. Hey, wake up. Wake up. Look around you. Watch the barometer. You've been warned from the Word of God. It's happened before. It's happening again. Well, but I can't remember. Well, you better get a hold of yourself. You know why you probably can't remember? You haven't refreshed yourself in the Word of God. You've been listening to some turncoat, flip-flopper, or some man that's impressed with traditions of men. All right? Let's go with 11. There is no remembrance of former things. With men, there isn't. I mean, some people are... and when it comes to God's Word and history, I mean, you can't even get a conversation out of them. They don't know. I'm talking about the general, overall public. All right? It's important that you remember. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things. You can put the word men in there instead of things, and you'll probably do a lot better off. There is no remembrance of former men, neither shall there be any remembrance of men that are to come with those that shall come after. Okay? But you know something? Men don't amount to all that much. God's Word does. It never changes. Men forget, but God's Word never changes. Men seem to get strayed occasionally. Unfortunately, many times you like to find something new. I just like to hear new things. No, it's not new. You're being refreshed. You're being rejuvenated. Have you ever wondered why it's written in St. John chapter 14, God speaking through the Holy Spirit, I will recall these things to your remembrance? Did you know that you knew those things probably at one time? And that's why sometimes you get that feeling, wow, that makes sense, all right? You know, because from when you're born innocent of woman, those things are removed from you. But they're still, in a sense, there's nothing new under the sun. And I'll document to you before we finish this lecture that it's going to be put back there again. I'll document it not from my word or some other man's word, but from God's word, so that no one is with excuse at the end of the millennium. If you fry, it's going to be on your own account, not your father's, not our father's, for he's in control. So what is new under the sun? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just new to man because he remembered. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of us have a hard time remembering names, and by that I mean even our own. You know, as you move along. I can say I was blessed with a good memory. That was part of God's gifts are given without repentance, all right? So if he gives you a gift, you can just about count on hanging on to it from then on, because he doesn't recall it. It's there. Some people drift away from them because they don't use them, but it's still there. And when God chooses someone, then so it is. Okay. Let's head for the New Testament. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Let's get this doctrine of Christ. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. We have doctrine everywhere. We go, my church goes by this name, that church goes by that name. All churches go by different names. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. What can we say about the teachings of Christ? Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Let's look at some of Christ's ministry and see if we can spot anything new there. Verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, that's the city of compassion, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. What did he do? He was a teacher. He taught. Why? That was his mission in the first advent. It is not his mission in the second advent, though. Verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Do you know why they said that? Because he taught the Word of God. And the Word of God is not the Word of God by precedent. Do you know what that means? The law of precedent means according to this man. This great preacher over here said so-and-so, and that great preacher over there said something else, and that preacher there said something different. And on they go, all right? No, you go by the Word of God. That's why the way Jesus taught, and that's your clue to it. When you teach the Word of God, you teach it with authority. For God's Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So it better be handled with authority, or you have no business handling it. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. That means we got a little evil spirit just hunkering right in here. It's not unusual to have one in a group. A teacher is used to it. He can feel them. He knows them. He spots them. Well, what do you do about it? Let it suffer. Unless the person asks to be cleansed or made right, then let them suffer. Who cares, all right? It's good. If you can't teach with evil spirits around, then you got no business teaching, all right? Verse 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" In other words, they knew he had the power to. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Who was he? Why did they know him? They knew him from before. They had no problem. This, again, takes you back to the beginning, my friend. Open your minds up. The Word is so simple if you let it flow. The evil spirits knew Jesus. That's why that some people say, "Well, I believe in reincarnation because I can remember what happened 400 years ago." No, the evil spirit in you remembers what happened 400 years ago because they possessed someone that was there. There's no such thing as reincarnation. It is given to die but once in the flesh. Period. That's it. Okay. They knew him, and they knew he had the authority. Do you know something else? Do you know that he gave you this authority before he left? Before he was crucified, before he resurrected? Luke chapter 10, along about verse 18. We'll lay it out for you, right? He gave you that authority as long as you do it in his name, not yours. Okay? Because I got news for you. You can't overpower an evil spirit. But his name can. Why? It's the Word. That's the way it is. He's giving you the example here. Verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Hey, this upset the people. Did you see that? That boy has been possessed all of his life, frothing at the mouth, foaming, acting crazy. And just, bam! With authority, I guess, that demon come romping and tromping out of him, with no hesitation. Talk about authority. Hey, that shook them up. They weren't used to seeing things like that. It's kind of sad. Not too many Christians today are. Isn't that kind of a shame, isn't it? He gave them the power and they don't use it when it's necessary. There's times when it's necessary, and like I said, other times, let them go. Don't worry about an evil spirit. That's a spirit of argumentation, okay? Don't ever worry about a spirit of argumentation. Let it go for so long and then embarrass them badly. Have mercy on them for a while, then embarrass them badly. Verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Wasn't anything new about it. God had control over Satan from the beginning. Why? He threw him off the altar and promised him he was going to die. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 18, I'll turn you to ashes from within. He's a dead man walking. Okay? You know what? Is that new? Nothing new about it. It happened and your father did it. Can you take a little pride in that? I think so. He did it for you, 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, so Peter was married, okay? His mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and a noun, that means immediately, they tell him of her. 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. She served him, went in there, started getting ready to feed everybody. That's the way mother-in-laws do. They like to feed the hungry. All right? And take care of people. 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. You see, the thing I want you to see in this, Jesus makes everything all right. Do you have him in your life? I know you do. He makes everything all right. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I've got a little pain in my knee. Oh, well, how old are you? Well, congratulations. Getting old isn't for sissies, is it? All right? You know? But eat right and everything. And, well, what did you have for breakfast? Well, I had a half pound of bacon. Well, don't you know there's little worms in that? It's called trechnine. It gets in the joints and it'll freeze them up. But God's word is complete. Learn to use it, all right? Live good. Be happy. Jesus fixes things. 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Hey, best thing in town. Long time no see. Was this new? It was to them. Why? They hadn't stayed in the word. There was a method for this to have transpired before. Had they read the word, even before Christ came to the earth, he just made it easy for us that's a little slow, okay? Verse 34, I'll document that here in a moment. 34, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, different things, and cast out many devils, doesn't matter how many, doesn't bother him, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him, said, you keep your mouth shut. It was not time for him to be identified as the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, yet. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out of Peter's house there, and he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Do you know that your Savior prayed? That's meditation. That's talking with the Father, Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know what meditation will do for you after you cover Scripture? you read it through, do you think you're going to get all of it? I can tell you, most likely not. If you go off and run that through your mind, to meditate comes from the etymology of the word to chew the cud. Okay, like an old cow. Have you ever seen an old cow or a deer chew its cud? You know, I've got a little doe that comes up behind my house every day after it's over and has her a little bit of corn, and she'll lay down and chew that cud. You know, because they have a stomach that they partake of grass and stuff, and they don't have time to chew it all in the daytime. So when they lay down and rest, they can swallow that cud, and it goes down and brings up that part that needs to be re-chewed. So you kind of chew over what you absorb there and look for the deeper, more simpler things. It refreshes you. That's why, do you think Jesus needed this? Well, I'm sure he enjoyed it, but he showed us the way, don't you understand? He's telling you to do it. When there comes a time, well, he'd had all that success. Well, he needed a little rest for a moment. Needed to think about it. Plan your day ahead. Less mistakes that way. Utilize the power properly. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. They're all looking for you. 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Is that new? Of course it isn't. You should remember from Isaiah. We just covered Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. What did he come forth for? Isaiah, hold your place in Mark. Isaiah chapter 61. And Isaiah chapter 61 says, I'm getting there. Take me a minute. I don't have a table in front of me like you do. I came here to teach. That's what he said in the New Testament. That's what I was sent here for. Was it new? Is God's word new? Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. I repeat, anointed me. This is Jesus Christ, okay? It's speaking of our Savior. Anointed me to preach. That means to teach. Good tidings unto the meek. That means the humble, those that are willing to receive it. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. People that have their lives captivated in usury, in many, many things. He came through the Word teaching you to stay away from that kind of stuff. Be somebody. Be a child of God. Take control. He made it possible in his teachings, if you'll read it, if you'll study it. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to the captives that are bound by Satan and his false teachings, his lies. He gave you the word on how to defeat Satan, how to come out of the prison of spiritual death. A lot of people are spiritually dead in this world today, my friend. It makes my heart weep, because they don't see the truth, and yet they think they're saved. But I'm afraid they're saved by the wrong Savior. At least they've been hooked. Why? Because of false preachers. That's why. This makes me so popular on national television. It really does. And I thank the ministry for that it makes me popular and everyone loves it, because it is God's Word. And everybody should love God's Word. Isn't that right? Of course it is. Sure. That's what he came for. So was it new that he said, I need to go over to that town? No, it was old. It was written. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You'll remember in another place, period. He set the scripture down. This is the gap. He came and taught the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, what year was that? the generation of the fig tree. Have you ever read it? It's written. He wanted you to know that. Why? So that you could be ready for what follows when, if you happen to be in that generation. And the day of vengeance of our God. That's two different days. To comfort all that mourn. Does your message do that? God's message will. Well, I still mourn a lot. Well, get with it then. You're out of the Word. You've been probably listening to knuckleheads instead of studying God's Word for yourself. You don't have to depend on man that way. It's before your eyes. It's in your hand. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I don't know, you got yours? You should have. The oil of joy for mourning. We got everything in the world to rejoice about. Why? You know the truth. It's a lot to be thankful for, especially in this generation. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I don't know, are you heavy today? Well, there are times that we're going to have events that happen, but there's joy also because we know He's in control. Aren't you glad He is instead of some man? You know what would happen probably if you put some man in charge? He'd have a change of heart. God doesn't. His word is always solid. That's why you don't follow this man or any other man. You follow the word of God. Okay? And have that spirit of joy. Do you know why? Your Father owns everything. You're His child. Enjoy it. In a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of God, that He might be glorified. Has He planted you, or you haven't got around to it yet? You know, when He plants you, that means He has given you your charisma. Do you know what the word charisma is in the Greek? It's gift. Okay? It may just be a smile. Boy, we have some lovely smiles in here. Don't tell me that's not a gift from God. Okay? I know better. It is. That's one of the most healing things in the world is the smile of a Christian. You know, it really does. It picks up. Okay? So, you got yours? Well, good. That's great. So, you see, we're going to go back to Mark now, where we were. See, that wasn't new. That was His purpose of coming here. He was following that out. Had you been familiar with Isaiah 61 as well as many other places, you would have known He had to make the circuit. You know, and He told us, He said, you know, in your time, greater things than these shall you do. Like, I'm standing here on this place in Gravette, Arkansas. Can you imagine? A lot of you traveled a long ways to get here. But you know what? See these things hanging on the wall and everything, that they make a little move every once in a while if David doesn't go to sleep. And push a button and that goes around the world. He had to walk over to that town. Doesn't He bless us? Don't ever cut yourself short. He blesses us, all right? And I thank God that many of you enjoyed that, and that's wonderful. All right, back to verse 39, Mark 1. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. He wasn't shy, friend. He was bold. He didn't just talk about it. He did it. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him. What does kneeling down show? Faith and worship, right? Belief. And saying unto Him, if thou wilt, that's like saying, I know you can, thou canst make me clean. Boy, now that'd touch your heart, wouldn't it? It did Christ. What did He do? 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. Oh, He had a tender heart. Put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. You know something? He was. Verse 42. Now sharpen up for me. I know it's a little, maybe a little warm in here for you, but I'm going to quiz you in a moment. What was Jesus really teaching you here? Okay? Something special about it. Verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, not after a while, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Bam! Just like that. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. What did he charge him with? Well, listen. Listen and learn. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. You keep your mouth closed. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, why would he do that? Well, it's really quite simple. He wants you to check out what was it Moses did. And you've probably got a sign of what's about to take place. Okay? It's so simple. Well, where do we go? I'm glad you asked me. Leviticus 14. Let's turn there, okay? Leviticus being in the Old Testament, that is. Last time I looked, anyway. Leviticus, the law, Moses' teachings, chapter 14. Let's understand why Jesus told him, you go down to that priest and you do what you're supposed to do. Now, let me ask you something. How would Jesus know that man knew what to do? Well, it was pretty common back then. You didn't have a bunch of spiritually dead people walking around. They made Passover and a few other places, and they knew the scripture pretty well. He knew what he was supposed to do to cleanse leprosy. Why? He had read Leviticus 14 and studied it. It was the law. Okay? Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. You understand? Jesus is going to teach you how it's going to fall into place here. Leviticus 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Well, Christ was the priest that day. Sure was. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Go out there and take a look. You know, they isolated them. 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds, alive and clean. And then, well, what's a clean bird? Well, it's not a dirty bird. Right? It means a bird that is edible. All right? So what would it be? Well, let's call it a dove if you want to, all right? And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Now, a lot of people start chasing stuff like this. All this was a sign, and I'm giving away why we came here, of what Christ would replace. His blood would replace all this. Okay? You've all heard of Mars Hill and what they did there. Oh, they liked religion. They sure did. All kinds of religion, all kinds of things going on here. And you had the Epicureans who really believed in living it up, and you had the Stoics who just about everything from there in between. You had all denominations, each one of them with a big post saying, this is the way. This is the only way. And I'm not condemning churches. Everybody has a right to teach what they want to teach. And I have fought for them to have that right as many other servicemen in this great nation. I've shed blood for that right. And I'll do it again so that everybody can teach just what they want to. But I pray it's always the Word of God, you know, as it is written. Verse 19 of Acts 17. And they took him, this being Paul, and brought him into Areopagus, saying, Mars Hill, okay, translated. May we know what this new doctrine, boy, there you got it again, new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? Like I said, you got every denomination in the country on this hill. All the way. How would you like to have a group gathered today like that? And you're going to speak to them. Okay? Whoa. Verse 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We like our ears tickled. Ooh, oh. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. We just really are hungry. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else. Boy, that was a helpful lot serving the Lord, wasn't it? Yeah. But either to tell or to hear some new thing. Every one of them was a preacher. Do you know what this was? It was the old world's net. All right? Website. Every one of them had a message. And they were either listening or talking. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Now, you know, the King James translators were really generous here with this word superstitious. Superstitious being a little bit akin to fictitious. Okay? But let's take the Greek. I mean, this is what's neat. The Greek words, I say words plural because there were two that were translated into the one English word. One of the words in the Greek means faithless. Have you ever known anybody that was faithless? I just can't believe in anything. Can't find nothing. Do you know what the other word was, though, that was translated into superstitious along with faithless? A spirit, especially to the bad or demonic. In other words, Paul was cutting them down pretty good here, and I don't think the word superstitious quite catches all of it, frankly. Because he was telling them, you're headed for trouble. You're barking up the wrong tree. There's something satanic about the whole affair. Now maybe you can better understand what follows. Hey, you know what I'd do if I was you? You ought to check me out on that. You know, that's saying a bunch. You really ought to check me out to make sure that word superstitious was taken from faithless, demonic, bad-spirited people. You know, because that's saying a lot. I'd want to know if a man was telling me the truth. Verse 23. For do you think I'm worried about what you're out there? I'm not, really. I'm just driving you into doing your homework. That's all. I know what you're going to find there. 23. Because I looked this morning. And a few other times through the years. But be that as it may. 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, oh dear, holy, holy, holy Joe. So devoted. They were faithless and bad-spirited. Can you imagine what their devotions were like? I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. And boy, that was the one for them because they sure didn't know our Father. Okay? Whom therefore you ignorantly... That's really taking advantage, isn't it? But it's true. You ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein. He's your dad. He's your father. Okay? He created your spirit even and everything. You're kin to him. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You can build anything you want to. But he doesn't dwell there. 25. Neither is worshipped or served with men's hands as though he needed anything. Have you ever met anybody that thought God couldn't get along without them? I've known a few, really. I mean, by what they told me, I don't know. You know, but by the way they acted, I really don't think they thought God could pull it off without them. Right? He doesn't need us, friends. He's got... Well, when did he do that? A long time ago, okay? From the beginning. Right? He needed it, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He's the man. He's in charge. He's your father. take pride in that. And he hath made of one blood all nations. I've got to stop right there. The word blood is not in the manuscripts, all right? Period. It's been added. Even poor old Schofield caught that, and man, he didn't catch much, okay? Even he caught that. It impressed me, okay? But you have to take the word one. Well, figure it out then. What did he make man out of? Oh, clay. Out of one clay, then, all right? Don't read blood. It just says one. But God gives us credit for knowing what he used to make us. So he didn't have to put one clay. He left it blank, all right? It wasn't blank in the Greek, all right? And he made of one, I'll say clay, all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined, I repeat, determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He set boundaries. Well, now that's not the way the liberals teach today. They say there are supposed to be no boundaries. Well, God knew what he was doing, friends. He did. And he made us the way he wanted us, and that's the way it is. Like it, lump it, or whatever. That's just the way it is. And you know something? He doesn't make mistakes. Aren't you glad? That's why I always say, don't you ever apologize for your race in front of me, or I'll cut you down. God made all the races, and he made them just the way he wanted them. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. How far is he? All you got to do is ask, friend. All you got to do is, as it's stated in the great book of Isaiah in chapter 43, God said, remind me. Meaning, you got to know what you're reminding him of, and it better be scriptural. Okay? Remind me, and I'll do it. We'll talk. And he didn't say he'd do it. He said, we'll talk about it. Sometimes he's smarter than we are. Does that disappoint you? But it's true. He really is. That's obvious, is it not? Okay, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Did you know that much of your life depended on that? That's right. In him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We're his kin. That word is genos in the Greek, and it means we're his kin, we're his offspring. And of course, the poet was artist, most likely, their own, you know, match it up. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver, gold rather, or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Just won't fly, friend. It's natural. Very natural. And when you get out of the natural, you're perverted. Okay? So stay simple and stay natural. 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. In other words, in old times before Christ came, when people would do things that were kind of foolish, build them a little old stick horse and ride it, calling it God. Well, I've got my boyhood mixed up with idol worship here. That was when back in Oklahoma, when we saddled up one of them stick horses, it meant business, friend. It was trouble for the bad guys, for sure. Okay? But God kind of winked at it. But do you know how he feels about it today when you know better? Do you know why you're supposed to know better? Because he told you. Does he wink at it anymore? Well, listen to it. God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent after what? Christ. Repent to him. If you haven't, friend, have a good trip. I know where you're going. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. What man? Christ, whom he hath ordained. Remember Isaiah 61? I took it. I am anointed. That means ordained to teach. Have you studied his teaching? There is no new doctrine. It is his. whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That little bird live flew away from that living water. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. What is new under the sun? Nothing. When you speak of it today, I should save a few nice letters that I received from various religions. You would enjoy them, okay? I get a big laugh out of them. You know, when you get in broadcasting, you develop a tank-type skin, okay? If you don't know what that means, well, that's okay. I mean, you find it funny, laughable, and that's the way you enjoy it. Anyway, doesn't Isaac mean laughter? I think it does. And others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. Hey, guess what? Paul split. He done told them all he was going to. He told them how it was. That's a lot more than some people get, all right? Is to be told what it's like, how it is. So, having these things in mind, turn with me. I'm getting there. I'm about ready. I'm going to wind down here like a 8-day alarm clock. Here, go to Romans, the next book after Acts, okay? Let's go all the way to chapter 16, where Paul, in his salutation, kind of some of his writings here. We're getting close to the end, and he's there, and he's writes this to you after having told you all these things. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Do you know what the word beseech means? That means I really seriously want to get your attention a minute. This is important. Paul's signing off the letter to the Romans. He said, this is important. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. This falls with the old saying of the many-membered body, there's nothing new under the sun. If somebody goes haywire and starts teaching something that isn't biblical, like maybe that's the hand of the body, cut it off, get rid of it, because it's better it perish than the whole body go to hell. In other words, as a leader, you nip it in the bud. Okay? If you ever find out about it. Okay? You avoid them. Why? You've got the Word of God and you're a child of God. What business have you got running with unsound doctrine? Not my words, Paul's teachings. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You're always going to have some simple-minded person, and pray for them. You can't do anything for them. They're going to chase it. Why? Most likely they haven't read. Do you know what this is? Paul's about to come down to? We're going to have a fight with Satan before this is over with, and we don't need wimps, all right? And we don't need untrained troops. There's one thing I learned about in combat, and there's one reason I'm still alive today, with being with about 10,000 men against 320,000, and we came out. Why? We were trained, disciplined, focused. See that you're focused, because this battle is much more serious than the one I was in North Korea at the Chosun Reservoir. This one is for your eternal soul and life. Think twice. Do you serve man or do you serve God? The simple people, this is why it's dangerous. They'll believe anything. And as a responsible teacher, you always teach what is right, and you be able to document it and back it up, or you're flirting with serious, serious trouble. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I want you to be innocent concerning evil. God doesn't wink at it anymore, friend. He'll take you to the woodshed. He will come down on you. Maybe before, you know, Christ hadn't come with the full message to kind of put the frosting on the cake, the sweet, happy part. And God would kind of wink at it and say, "Oh well, that's the school. They'll get this is the schoolmaster. They'll learn. They're babies." He doesn't do that anymore. He will take you to the woodshed. Why? What does it come to? Why does it make any sense? Verse 20: "For the God of peace shall bruise Satan, the Antichrist, under your feet shortly." Let me read that again. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. I don't believe it said that. It said he's going to bruise him under your feet, friend. Well, what if somebody's taught me there is no Antichrist? Well, then you're in a peck of trouble, aren't you, friend? Why? You listen to an idiot. Your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so you have it. It's a very serious thing, my friend. Don't follow man. Follow the Word of God. We have a battle before us. If you can't stay focused, you got trouble, because anyone can focus, or they are simple, on the simplicity in which Christ brings forth His Word. In closing, one more place. Go to Jeremiah with me real quickly. Verse 30, chapter 31. There's something new coming, all right. As a matter of fact, in verse 22 of this chapter, if I remember right, and I usually do, there's a little special thing that's new there. God says in verse 22 of Jeremiah 31, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding heifer? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." And the subject is God's children trying to find Christ. There's a time coming when, believe you me, they're going to be hungry. I can tell you something else, beloved. They are today. We gain 300 to 500 new people every day. Think about that. They're hungry. Hungry for what? The simple truth. God's Word. Not Arnold Murray's Word. Not somebody else's Word. God's Word. What did God promise us? Verse 31 of this same chapter. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." That's not maybe. The days will come that I will make a new covenant. That's a fresh one. Freshness. Not a different one, a fresh one. "With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them." So I kept my word, they didn't keep theirs, all right? Well, what's this new one about? Verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." What days? The Lord's day, the millennium, saith the Lord. "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." 34 to complete. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor." It's past the age of a teacher here of God's Word. Why? When the spiritual body, they'll know every word of it. "And every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." It's up to them whether it's that way on the last part of the Lord's day, when Satan is released a short season. What does that document to you? That as it began of old, that all the children knew and understood and were in the spiritual body, so it will be again in the spiritual body. You know all things, except one thing. And that's what God wants most, and that's where Satan went wrong. Love for your father. And guess what else? Discipline. Some people cannot stay focused. They've got to, there's just got to be something a little more exciting for me. Hey, stick around, friend. You're going to have an exciting old time. You're going to say, would somebody put a few more coals over on this side instead of over here? It's getting hot here. You must stay focused and do it God's way. You must study for yourself to show yourself what? Approved. Did it say, you must study with Arnold Murray to show yourself approved? I don't believe it said that. You must study the Word of God to show yourself approved so that you know better. So that in the simplicity in which He brings it, you're not caught short on that day, friend. For there are many things you're supposed to know before that day arrives, whereby you are a loyal, informed soldier for Christ. For it is your feet, not His, your feet that are going to put Satan down with the help of the Holy Spirit when He does what with you? Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21. But someone said that wasn't going to happen. Well, do you listen to someone or do you listen to God? You know, you got to make a choice. All those chapters say you're going to be delivered up to that synagogue of Satan. You're not to premeditate, but you're to speak that is given you at that time, and it's going to stomp his hide. Do you have faith? I don't know. It gives me great joy. I'm an old campaigner, and I'm looking forward to having a different chest full of ribbons than I now have, you know, and medals. I'm looking to have eternal medals, all right? And let's just say to Satan, let's get it on, all right? You don't have to be afraid of him if you have faith. You know, only a coward would teach. I think Satan's already here. You haven't seen anything yet. You wait. Okay? You wait. Have you ever been exposed to the supernatural? Well, if you ever have, you know what fear is like. All right? So, do I know what I'm talking about? I do. Be ready, friend. It's real simple. Love the Father, and He'll love you. Be ready. For as it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. And there is nothing new under the sun. Don't look for a new doctrine. For God is the Word. And you're looking for a new God in that case. You have a whole handful there before you. It's called the Word. And the Word was God. Absorb it. Refresh. That means redo, redo, redo. And, you know, and take care of business while you're doing it. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you for being with us this day. Thank you, Father, for the growth in taking us to the world at this time. We thank you for it, Father, that your word and the praise being to you, Father, and the glory, for you're such a wonderful Father. May we be your servants. It is a pleasure. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad.